Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live another day, I pray the Lord to guide my way. Amen. It's a prayer I was taught as a child. How about any of the rest of you? Sound familiar? Even as a kid, I thought this prayer was pretty morbid. Praying about the possibility of not living through the night. And to be honest, it made it hard to go to sleep when you were worried that you may not wake up. The idea that praying that God would receive, guide, and hold us, whether we live or die, is comforting, but thinking about dying in my sleep did not make sleep come easily, and it provided little comfort to my young self. Now, I don't want to parse the theology of that prayer or get too deep into this common bedtime prayer, but I do want to point out that this prayer was taught to me so that I would know the importance of prayer, right? It isn't just the words, but I would understand the importance of prayer. And I don't think my parents thought too deeply about the theology that was being communicated in the prayer, but they did want to teach me that prayer is important and it's something that I should be doing regularly. In our gospel reading, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, just as John's disciples had taught them. Later in the service this morning, we will see the parents and sponsors of Miles Pavelchik coming forward and presenting him for baptism. And one of the commitments they are going to make is that they are going to commit to teaching Miles to pray the Lord's Prayer, to learn the Ten Commandments, to read the Holy Scriptures. All because it's important as we grow into our life as in Christ, as we grow in our understanding of who God is. And we as a congregation will be asked to commit to pray for Miles, to pray for his parents, to pray for his sponsors as they do their best to support him in living into his new life in Christ. Prayer is a big deal. It was a big deal for Jesus, as we see that he often withdrew to pray throughout the scriptures. He would withdraw to pray in times of preparation for what was to come. And sometimes he would withdraw to pray, to process, give thanks, and even lament what had happened. But unfortunately, prayer doesn't come as naturally to most of us as some other things do, right? Most of us don't have to think too much about breathing or eating or drinking. But praying, that takes a little more effort. So we have to be taught to pray, not just to say the words, but we have to be taught that prayer is in fact a big deal, that it's important, and that it is the primary way that we maintain a relationship with God. In Luke's gospel, we find this request to be taught to pray in the midst of the travel narrative. Jesus and the disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. And this morning's reading immediately follows last week's reading, where we read the story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus went to their home, and Martha tried to get Jesus to criticize her sister Mary and invited him into that triangulating relationship, of which Jesus backed off and said no. Prior to that story immediately, we read the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, or neighbor. After those two stories, then we find this request to be taught how to pray. It seems to come out of the middle of nowhere. In Matthew's gospel, when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, it's within the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And that seems a much more likely or a place you would expect to find this instruction, as opposed to here in Luke. But here we are. The disciples want Jesus to teach them to pray as John taught his disciples. So Jesus responds, "When you pray, say, And then we read many of the words that we pray as part of the Lord's Prayer. Not all the words, but many of them. It seems like an abbreviated version. It's easy to recognize that that's what he is giving them. Matthew's version is much longer and more complete to what we pray. But it doesn't really matter that it isn't everything that we pray, because this prayer is given to us as a model of how to pray and what to pray for. The prayer as a whole reflects a disciple's total reliance upon God and God's care for us. It includes four requests: a request for God's kingdom to come, a request for daily bread, a request for forgiveness, and a request for deliverance. These are the things that we need most when we come to God. We need God's presence. We need our needs met. We need to be forgiven. And we need salvation. These are the things that we should be praying for even when we're not utilizing the Lord's Prayer. Because these four things speak to who God is and who we are in relationship with God. So in addition to teaching the disciples this form of prayer, Jesus demonstrates the importance of prayer. And he does that through this short parable that he tells. Suppose one of you had a friend, just one of you. Not all of you. Not all of you can have a friend, right? So suppose one of you did, right? He begins, in order to draw the disciples in, and then he invites us to imagine ourselves as the one who has the friend, right? So you're the one with the friend. And so you have a friend who's come to your house in the middle of the night, and you don't have anything to feed your friend. So you go to your neighbor's house in the middle of the night, knock on their door, and ask them to help you provide hospitality for your friend who's shown up at your house unexpectedly. Now, the request is ridiculous. Not only that it's the middle of the night, but it's ridiculous that you have gone to your neighbor and asked for 3 loaves of bread in the middle of the night. Every household only would have cooked as much bread as they needed for the day. Their daily bread. Nobody would have 3 loaves of bread hanging out at midnight. This is a ridiculous request at a ridiculous time. But then we read that the man doesn't get out of bed because his neighbor is his friend. The man gets out of bed because of his persistence. And yet the man is only knocked once. He's only asked once. We don't read that the man just kept knocking and knocking and knocking, right? This isn't Sheldon. Thanks. We'll explain it to the rest of you later. He knocks once. So scholars have said that a better translation of that word, instead of persistence, was shamelessness. The neighbor, the man, was shameless in going to his neighbor and making this request in the middle of the night. It is ridiculous that he would do such a thing, and it's ridiculous that he would expect his neighbor to help him provide hospitality to his unexpected guest. Now, the infamous Klein Snodgrass, who I've talked about more than once, who was my New Testament professor, would refer to this parable or story as a how much more parable. And Jesus even uses this language himself in telling it. If your neighbor, who had already gone to bed, is willing to answer the door to hear your shameless request for help, how much more will your Father in heaven answer the door, hear your knock, to receive and hear your prayers? And then Jesus reinforces the point by asking who among them would give their child a snake if they had asked for a fish. Would you? As far as I'm concerned, that's grounds for calling CPS. That is some form of abuse. But the point is made, even us, as imperfect as we are as parents and grandparents and uncles and neighbors of children in our communities, each of us would only want to give the best for the children in our lives. And even if we, who are full of mistakes, who don't always do the right thing, if even we would want to give our children that which is best, how much more will God give to those who ask? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is literally the presence of God. How much more would God give you God's loving presence if you ask? What more could you want? What better is there than God's loving presence? In this passage, Jesus teaches the disciples and us to pray, not so that we can pray for the things on our Amazon wish list. Jesus teaches us to pray because prayer is essential in maintaining our relationship with God. How can we say we know God if we never go to God, if we never pray to God, if we never knock on God's door, if we never turn to God? Prayer is essential because it demonstrates our trust in God and our belief that God is the provider of every good and perfect thing. Jesus taught the disciples to pray because at times we and they do not have the words to pray. We've all been there. We don't even know how we should be praying. We're so bereft. We're so exhausted. And so Jesus gives us words for those times. So we pray. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. We teach that same prayer to our children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Why? Because it is sufficient. It is more than sufficient. The Lord's Prayer encompasses all of our prayers as we pray that God's kingdom would come, as we pray that God's will would be done. So teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. Amen.